Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Thomas Anders is a German singer, songwriter, and record producer. After forming the Eurodisco duo Modern Talking with Dieter Bohlen, in 1983 they became a worldwide sensation with the hit You're My Heart, You're My Soul. They followed up with a string of other hits, namely You Can Win If You Want, Sherry Sherry Lady, Brother Louie, Atlantis Is Calling, SOS for Love, Geronimo's Cadillac, and Jet Airliner, before dissolving in 1987. In 1998, they reunited and produced several new songs, such as You Are Not Alone, Sexy Sexy Lover, No Face, No Name, No Number, Ready for the Victory, and TV Makes a Superstar, before dissolving again in 2003. During their two stints together, the duo sold 120 million records worldwide and received numerous sales certifications around the globe. After the first breakup in the 1990s, Thomas performed as a solo artist. After the final dissolvement of the band, Thomas has continued to release hit after hit and successful albums the world over. He holds the distinction of being the best-selling foreign artist of all time in Russia. Up next on Celeb Savant, we have got Thomas Anders. Where do we find you in the world and how are you doing?
So thank you from my side, you know, first that for the invitation. I'm actually in Germany and I'm at home. And home is, you know, just, you know, you're from South Africa, so it's really far away. It's Koblenz. It's a city on the River Rhine side, round about, 100 kilometers in the south of Cologne. You know, this is the area where all the castles and, you know, all the wine yards are. And it's very beautiful here.
It sounds beautiful. I must come visit. So now let's rewind. At what age did you decide yourself, whether it was a child or teenager, did you think, cool, I want to be in the entertainment world or singing world? And I know it's a multiple decade journey, but the Thomas Anders journey of being in the music world.
You know, to tell you the truth, I was 6 years old, the first time I've been on stage. Okay. So these wishes or this wish and, you know, my inspiration was, I was very, very young, you know, I made my first experiences with performing when I was 4 or 5, because all of my uncles and aunts and relatives, they came out to my parents and I tried to make a show for them. You know, I studied 2 or 3 songs and then I performed these songs. And my first time, you know, when I was 6 years old, was my first appearance on stage. And it was like a Christmas party part of this, and I sung Christmas songs, and you know, I was 6 years old and was standing on a chair because nobody other could see me, and so I sang 3 or 4 songs and I loved it. I really felt happy and great. And from that time on, it was for me very clear that I will do my experiences in the entertainment business.
And then how did that journey progress?
You know, it was, yeah, to face it, it's very cute. If a 6-year-old boy is singing, you know, songs. And then other people heard about that. And I was asked, you know, if I would like to sing, you know, for other people and, you know, for some, I don't know, you know, some festivities in summer. And so I did this. And then something happened that in Koblenz, where I live now, this Koblenz was or is still around about 25, 30 kilometers away from where I've been born. And there was a big, big place where the people could dance and you know, having fun. It was, today you would say it's like a club, but yeah, in these days they had their own band and it was very, very big for 1,000 people. And so the owner saw me and he made me an offer to sing for his guests. And I was singing with a band. It was, I think, 11 or 12 musicians, as far as I remember. And so musical director, he made the arrangements, and I had a program from around about 20, 25 minutes. And I sung in the next 3 years, around about 150 shows.
Wow.
That was a lot. So I was getting more and more, you know, close to the stage, and I loved it. And you know, some people saw me and from the music industry, and to make it a bit quicker. So one day a guy came to me and said he would produce me, and so I got my first record contract when I was 15. And so I made my record contract, and I released a single in German language, but it didn't get well. You know, it was a flop. Nobody wants to hear it. And then I changed the record company and had another producer and made two singles in German language, and they didn't went well as, you know, as the first one. They flopped. And then, do you know, sure, you know, it was a world hit. You know, F.R. David with the song Words?
Yes.
Do you remember this?
Yeah.
And the follow-up single was, how was the name? I don't know. It was the second single. And I made Pick Up the Phone, was it? And I made the German original version from this. And the producer of this song was Dieter Bohlen.
Yes.
He was working in Hamburg for publishing company, and he started to produce, and he made the production, and then we made several songs, and all of these songs flopped as well. And one day I came to him and said I would love to sing in English, and he wasn't really happy with this idea, because he said, we're gonna build you up as a German artist in German language, and if you're gonna start now in English, so you really, it's, you know, this is a bit strange for the audience. But in a certain way, I just triggered his mind. And he came 1984. He came from his holidays, summer holidays. And he came back, and I was in the studio, and I was singing a new German song. And he said, you know, you still have time to catch your plane. So I wrote a song. Maybe you can sing it in the studio. And I did it. And this song was Yom HaHat Yom HaSod.
Okay, so that was the beginning of the successful magnitude that of being Modern Talking.
Yep.
So how did the name Modern Talking come to be?
Well, first of all, when we showed this song, Yom HaHat Yom HaSod, to the record company, nobody believed in it. They said, you know, this is not the type of music that people want to listen to. But okay, we're going to give it a chance and we're going to release it. But they didn't want to show my face, because they said, you're going to be built up as a German artist. So we had to make something very special. So the department from the who's responsible for the covers and the company, they put this legendary, you know, sneaker on the one side, and on the other side it was this, you know, very elegant shoe, how do you call it, in this leather, very shiny. They put on the opposite, and then the head of the record company said, well, we have one singer, but we have two shoes. So what are we gonna do now? So we need another singer. And they said, we need maybe another singer if this works, if the song works. And we need a name for it, a name for whatever, the duo, the band, whatever. And the secretary of the company, we were all, you know, thinking about a name. And she was, you know, checking all the charts worldwide. And they had Talking Heads, there was something with modern, blah, blah, blah. And then she said, maybe Modern Talk would be a nice name.
Yeah.
And then the A&R came and said, well, Modern Talk, why, we can name it Modern Talking. So we have the syllables. And he said, okay, let's put it on the cover. And nothing happened. You know, we didn't sell, you know, around about 5,000-6,000 records. And then the Christmas holidays came in. And, you know, even in Germany, a lot of people are celebrating. You know, a lot of people are going to discotheques, going to clubs. And 4 weeks later, we had the list that we sold more than 60,000 copies of Your My Heart, Your My Soul. And that meant that we're going to enter the charts. Mm. And we just went into the charts on place 38. And 1 week later, we were number 9. Then it was 2. And then we've been for 4, 5, or 6 weeks, number 1 in Germany. So this was the beginning of this career.
What was the first thing in your mind to say, why did you want to originally start singing in English? What was that thing in your mind to say, okay, this is a path I want to take?
You know, at home, I sung all the time, most of the time, English songs. I started singing with, I was a big, big fan of Barry Manilow.
Yes.
Because friends of my parents, they made vacation and holidays in the States. And because they knew that I really love to sing, they brought me an album from Barry Manilow. And my world since then was, you know, fixed with songs in Germany. You know, we have we named these Schlager songs. You know, it's German language, and we had big shows in Germany, and I was in these kind of songs. But with the songs from Barry Manilow, it was a complete new way of music, different compositions, different arrangement. It was more world music. It was more open. It was, for me, wow. It was, this I can do with music.
Yeah.
It touches my heart. New, you know, melodies. They were perfectly arranged with the instrument. And so I sung at home every day. And even today, I have to say, sorry, Mom, but when I did my homework, when I came back from school and I did my homework, I sung in my room for at least 2, 2.5 hours every day. And sometimes 20 times the same song. This brought me to the English music and the English language.
When you kept having sort of those failures in the beginning, when the songs weren't successful or were flops in inverted commas, and then nothing was happening and nothing was happening. And then when you had the single, Your My Heart, My Soul, and also the music people weren't sort of open to it, but they thought, okay, we'll give it a try. During that period of time, what was the thing that kept you going?
It was the belief.
Okay.
I believed in my voice, and I believed in my person, because I wanted to go this way. Yes, because I always thought there will be a way, and there will be one day I will be famous. But it was on another level than I'm getting famous.
Yeah.
You know, for me, my wish was, when I was in school, and I was 16, 17 years old, one day to be in the charts, maybe one day to own a gold record and to earn enough money that maybe in the future my family can live with my money, and maybe one day to drive a Jaguar. So these were my wishes. And okay, I made it, to put it another point.
You did, absolutely. So we had the years of many singles with Modern Talking, and then we moved into being back to being solo, and you're carrying on releasing new music, new albums, etc., etc., etc. So what is the motivation for you to keep releasing? What is it that gets you up every morning and say, okay, I'm going to create a new song or create a new album?
Well, it's still like at the beginning, it's my passion for music. And, it's always fantastic and so deeply emotional to see when I'm doing my shows worldwide that the people love the music and I can bring some good feelings and some emotions to the people. It's a wonderful gift to be on stage and to look to the audience and look to the people, and they're happy and they're smiling and they're singing the songs, and well, they hug each other and seeing people having a great time. And music is the most positive drug we can have. And it gives you right away a feeling. You can, even when you're sad, music can really give you a base, give you can music can hug you in a certain way. And I love to sing. I love to sing. And even, after our interview, I will go to the studio for this afternoon and we'll record some new tracks. And this is my passion.
I've got a point of discussion. So I'm that person right up in front and I'm dancing, I'm jamming. I will have my phone out to take maybe one or two videos, one or two pictures, and I put my phone away. I notice the people around me, a majority or a portion of majority, have their phones out for a whole period of time, filming, tweeting, posting, doing whatever they're doing at that time. From the person on the stage seeing that, do you feel it distracts or takes away from the moment or the energy, or it's just where society is at the moment?
To be honest, I really don't like it that much because, as you said, it takes away some emotion because you can't feel the power of the music or what the artist is doing on stage because you're concentrate on your smartphone and that the artist is in the right focus. And this is sometimes strange. I had once, it was a show for a company, and it was a company for makeup, and there'd been 800 people, and from these 800, I will say around about 700 girls, ladies, women, whatever. And when I came on stage, nearly nobody was clapping his hands because they were holding their smartphones.
Ah, my word.
And it was so strange going on stage and looking, can you imagine how it looks like when you're on a stage and you look down and you don't see a complete face? You see 700 people with a smartphone, like this. This is completely strange, completely strange. And sometimes I feel a bit sad that the concert people are not willing to let the emotion flow and to take what's coming up from the stage, the music and the warmth and the emotion. They're more concentrated in having a good video for streaming and for showing. And I'm pretty sure when they did this, they would see it one more time and that's it. So they missed the magic of a live show.
Exactly. I'm completely with you, totally. I must say, I heard your version of Gold, that was recently released, the Spandau Ballet song.
No, it was true.
True,
It's
sorry,
not both.
true. It's beautiful, I must say. So, are you going to be doing sort of a covers album?
I did this, but this is now, oh, this is a really long time ago. I think
Oh,
we are
wow.
looking 18 years. Yes. It was a concept album. It
Oh.
was, and in the, and during that time, I was very much into concepts. These, you know, coffee table books, right?
Yes.
These are books really nice made, and you can show them, and they'll, like on the coffee table, they're lying there, and you look inside. You have beautiful pictures, and it's good for your inner emotions. And so, I want to make like a coffee table album, something like this. An album, which is very orchestral, and I did it with an orchestra from Warsaw and the Film Orchestra Babelsberg in Germany, in Berlin. And I took my favorite songs from the 80s and made them very, very relaxed and smooth,
Yeah.
kind of chill out. And this was my concept album. At the moment, I don't have plans for doing another one, but who knows? Maybe I think in 4, 5, or 6 years in a different way, and then doing this. But a complete cover album is not planned yet.
So you said, how long ago was this, did you say, that it was released?
18 years,
That
2006, as far as I
Wow,
must remember.
it's very strange because I got it as a new release on my Spotify playlist, and I was
Yeah,
like,
but
okay.
yeah, this is in a certain way, it's true.
Okay.
It's completely remastered, and
Oh.
it's the first time that you can that's on Spotify and on all the other formats. It
Oh,
was
okay, now I
not
understand.
released.
Okay.
Yeah, this is new in that case. It's
Oh,
the
okay.
and this was the end of last year, exactly.
That's it. Okay. So now I understand. Okay. Now that leads me to my next question. I love me a CD. I still budget my CDs every month. I love the aesthetic of holding it. For me, it's a thank you to you guys for all your hard work that you did, like an energy exchange, the journey of going to choose it, open it, experience it, play it. And then I'm not sure if you're aware, CDs, vinyls, cassettes, they're all making a massive comeback. And it's actually with the younger kids, the teenagers. UK in the last year in the UK alone, 5.9 million vinyls sold, the biggest since 1990. CDs are on upward trajectory, and so forth. But we've also got these streaming platforms that people listen to music on. What is your observation and perception of each?
Definitely, it will be digital. This is the future.
Okay.
Vinyl is only for collectors who are into this. And to be honest, this will only CD and vinyl will be a niche. Because the world market is digital, it's streaming, definitely. I was a long time. I really was kind of sad that I had to say goodbye to CDs because the bonus from a CD is the booklet, and
Yes.
you can read the lyrics, and you can see pictures, and yeah, you can more go into these world of this musician. But nowadays, because time is so quick, I appreciate when I'm in my office and or when I have to listen to music, business-wise, I don't have to go out of my home, go into the car and drive to a music store and buy a CD, or I have maybe I have to go there and it's they don't have it on stock. And I have to come back a few days later, or they have to send it to me. No, I just click in, I go to Spotify, Apple Music, whatever, Deezer, blah, 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 so on. And I said, I want to listen to this and the song. And in between 5 seconds, I have it on my desk.
Okay.
And this makes it very easy to listen to music. And what I really prefer is when I'm into when I'm listening to a special song, you know, which I really like, a new song, I say, wow, this is really great. Then I can go and I can, you know, and the list I can send, please show me some similar music.
Yeah.
And very often I found artists I've never heard before, but with beautiful music, beautiful songs. And this chance I never had as long as I only buy the special CD, because I never had in mind that these other similar artists and the similar type of music exists. So this opens more and more for other talents to get more known. You know what I want to say?
Yeah, absolutely. Interesting. Everyone's has their different perceptions. So I like having this conversation because everyone's got their own perception and they're all valid and they're all relevant. So thank you. Thank you for that. So this leads me mentioning this. I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 2 years, 2 hours, I know your answer will be different every time because there are millions of them. I'm not saying favorite, but if you had to push play to five songs by other artists, once we would finish this conversation, what would those five songs be and by whom?
Oh, this, you know, we have beautiful songs, but definitely it would be Mandy from Barry Manilow.
Yes.
It would be Johnny Mitchell, Both Sides Now. It would be my favorite, ABBA. I'll say Knowing Me, Knowing You. It's a great tune. It's really, really fantastic. You know, this song is more than 40 years old and it's still perfect in the production and the composition. So these were three. So now it gets very hard. Oh, there must be one song from Barbra Streisand in. One of, I don't know which one, but, and oh, there's so many good songs on this world. So many really good songs. Yep, let's go for a Spandau Ballet with True.
Okay,
this is really all time favorite.
All of them already on my list, so there we go. So Thomas, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. So as a final message, what would you like to say to the audience?
You know, first of all, you know, to the audience in South Africa, I'm really looking ahead for my shows, and I'm completely excited because it's such a long time ago that I've been here the last time in your beautiful, beautiful country. And I hope a lot of people have the chance to see me in Cape Town and in Pretoria at the beginning of June. So I can promise it will be really, really a journey from the last 40 years, from the hits from Modern Talking till today's songs.
Yeah.
And hit. It will be a great show. And, you know, for all the people all over the world. So thank you so much that you're still listening to the music from Modern Talking and that you like it. And you're so kind to me to come to my shows all over the world. And it's always a big, big pleasure to entertain for you. And I hope that, you know, all of you will have the chance to see me once in your lifetime.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.